Yes, many of you experiencing the traffic in Letterkenny this morning. Traffic insane, they need to rethink this immediately. Another, the traffic is bad every morning, not only this morning. The Port Road is especially bad. It's bumper to bumper at the dual carriageway and Lurgy Brack. But obviously, listen, I mean, you have a major population area. You've got people going to work, school, students. Of course, there's going to be traffic. The only reason we're mentioning it this morning is because those who use the roads regularly are noting a increase in congestion. Avoid the Leck Road in Old Town. The traffic is crazy. We've not moved in 30 minutes. I don't know what's going on. Now, I don't know precisely when that text came in. Hopefully, it has eased somewhat. We were talking about drugs and the new sort of the relaunch, if you could describe it as that, of the Coastal Watch, really, in terms of, you know, trying to intercept drugs before they make shore or as they make shore. Don't forget air as well. There's small planes travel to Donegal but don't land and have their transponder off. Okay, I wasn't aware of that. I often hear planes above my head and the first thing I do is go and get out the app to see what it is. And I haven't come across one yet that didn't appear on the app, if that makes sense, but I'm probably not on a flight path. In terms of the environment, I blame the use of weed killer for water contamination. Every house, garden and also the council are constantly spraying. There should be a campaign to encourage natural products like salt and baking soda, etc. I mean, it's going to be a factor. Is that going to contribute to the level of poor water quality? I'm not sure. You'll probably know more than that than I do. In terms of cost of living, normally competition reduces the cost of a product, but regarding electricity prices here in Ireland, it's had the opposite effect. Privatisation, once again, has turned an essential product into a luxury, and the government has totally failed the people once again in favour of multi-millionaires. And the government have said today they're not going to be putting any price caps on. But as I said a little earlier on, and I wasn't joking, you know, this is a big deal, and I think it's something of an emergency, and I think it needs to be treated like such by our politicians. They are absolutely creaming us in terms of the profits they're making on electricity. They are buying it at a euro and selling it for three, effectively, something along those lines. We have the highest electricity prices in Europe, and we've got the biggest margin between what they're paying for and selling it for in the world, or one of the biggest in the world. So don't talk to me about investment in infrastructure, and don't talk to me about green energy and renewables. It's all we ever hear about, yet we are paying massive electricity prices. And of course, we feel that when we get the bill for 300 or 400 or 500 in the post as a residential customer. But try running a hotel for out the window, or a bed and breakfast, or a caff, or what have you. You know, they're paying massive prices too. And as I said earlier on, are we supposed to be, you know, thanking them for not raising prices? How could they raise prices when what they're paying for it is falling? And yet there seems to be no intervention, no oversight, no influence from the powers that be. It really is quite annoying, I must say. People keep calling them Palestinian prisoners. Most of them have been picked up from the streets, thrown in prison without trial. A lot of them children or doctors that spoke out against genocide. I'd call them hostages as well. I called them, referenced them to detainees and prisoners. So there you go. Why would we give families €10,000 to leave Ireland? They'll just come back again for another 10 grand. What's the point in that? Says a listener. We have had no broadband in Carrigart since the storm. I've been in touch with my broadband provider four times, but to no avail. Has anyone else got the problem? So put this out there. If there was a widespread outage in Carrigart, I would have expected to have heard it on the show at this point. I do note that the broadband was out in Downings and while the power was off in Carrigart, but when the power returned to Carrigart, the broadband returned to Downings. So I would have presumed Carrigart would have been reconnected at that point too. But anyone in that area, is your broadband out or is this an isolated problem? It sounds to me like it could be isolated, but I'll wait to hear. Back to migrants. Good morning. Why oh why is our government not prioritising Irish people before offering tens of thousands to economic migrants? I cannot get my head around it. We're in a humanitarian crisis with crumbling homes. Our health system is a shambles. Our kids are dying waiting on surgery. Why is this okay? Why? They are making us hate migrants, they say. Please do what we can. Put us first. We've done our bit. Well, it's about how money is spent, right? So if you look at the figures, less than 1% of the entire budget in Ireland is spent on migrants. So what is spent annually? Migrants account for about 1.6. There's a contingency a bit higher than that, but it's not always dug into. So Our budget's something like 120, 130 billion, and the spend on migrants is, so it's just over 1% of the entire budget. That's including international protection applicants, Ukrainians, the housing, medicine, and everything. So it represents about one and a bit percent of the entire budget spend. So surely that 1%, and I'm not justifying it, it's up to you to have your own opinion, but that 1% isn't the cure for the 99% of the rest of the spend, is it really? It's what that 99% is being spent on. If they give €10,000 to a family and they head back home to wherever they came from, you know, it costs €122,000 to process someone through the appeals process. So arguably, is it, if they do take it up and don't return, that would be seen as a saving to the taxpayer of over €100,000. So I think really, you know, the governments can control over 100% of the budget. 99% of it is not spent on refugees and Ukrainians. Yet that 1% seems to get the blame for why the government can't fulfill a promise to sort out the scoliosis backlog. Do you know what I mean? Because we're thinkers now. I'm not saying what the right way to think is. I'm just giving you the actual sort of figures. The reality is that 1% of the entire budget of the country is spent on direct provision, as it's called, or whatever it's called now, and all that type of stuff. So it's the 99% how that's spent that is a serious problem there as well.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
It's Tuesday, the 14th of October, just approaching 20 minutes past 10, and we're in studio now with Garda Grainne Doherty from the Letterkenny Garda Station. Grainne, thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Greg.
Great
thanks
to have you in.
Me.
Right, lots to get through, lots of information and plenty of appeals. And we'll start with assistance needed from the public in relation to an assault in Letterkenny.
Yes, this alleged assault occurred at Lower Main Street, Letterkenny, in the early hours of Saturday, the 11th of October, in and around 3:07 a.m. A male in his late teens is believed to have been assaulted by another male at that location around that time. The injured male attended Letterkenny University Hospital to receive medical treatment as he had sustained injuries, but thankfully none of these injuries were life-threatening in nature. We're appealing to anybody, firstly, who might have witnessed this incident to get in touch with us, and secondly, if anybody travelled at Lower Main Street with a dash cam in and around that time, we're asking them to make the footage available to us. The dash cam footage is always invaluable, you know, for all of our investigations. We're always making that appeal. Any relevant information should be passed to Letterkenny Gardaí on 91-67-100.
This time a daytime assault in Ballyshannon.
Yeah, so we're very hopeful now somebody might have witnessed this one. It happened during the day, all right, Jen, around 1:30 p.m. on Friday the 10th of October, and it happened in the area of the Market Yard, Ballyshannon. So this incident occurred during the school lunch break, and a male student from a local school was walking at that location when it's alleged that he was approached from behind and assaulted a number of times by a fellow male student. So the injured male attended Sligo University Hospital to receive medical treatment, and he didn't sustain any life-threatening injuries again, thankfully. We're appealing to anybody who may have witnessed this incident to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071-985-8530. And again, if anybody travelled with a dash cam in that area around that time, please make that footage available to us.
Yeah, and because it was daytime and it's a busy area, that info's out there. It's just a case of people letting Gardaí know. And of course, thankfully, not life-threatening injuries, but serious enough that required a hospital visit. Criminal damage this time in Donegal Town.
Yes, Gardaí are seeking assistance from the public following this incident of criminal damage that occurred in the car park at St Patrick's Church in Donegal Town on Friday the 10th of October between 8 a.m. and 1 p.m. So a car had been parked up between those hours at that location, and the owner returned to find that the passenger side all along from front to back of the passenger side had been keyed, so considerable damage was caused to the car. We're appealing to anybody who might have relevant information to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071-985-8530. And of course, this goes for all of our appeals today. The Garda Confidential line, it can be contacted on 1800-666-111.
Okay, criminal damage this time in Ballybuffet.
Yes, this incident happened in the area of Meenavoy, Ballybuffet. So between 8 p.m. on Friday the 10th of October and 11 a.m. the following morning, Saturday the 11th of October, damage was caused to a timber fence at a house at that location between those times, and tractor marks were visible along the grass verge off the laneway into the house beside the damaged fence. following the incident. So we're appealing to anybody who may have witnessed this incident or who has any relevant information to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530.
These pop up from time to time, these instances where a fence or a wall is damaged and someone leaves the scene. And I think I recall you stating the last time, that's quite a serious thing to do, isn't it? It's not just an inanimate object, it's someone's property and you've damaged it and it really needs to be reported.
It does, yeah. And it's usually cars that are involved. And maybe, look, you know, we'll give this person the benefit of the doubt. They were in a large piece of machinery here, a tractor, and it is very possible that they didn't realise that the damage was caused to the fence. So, you know, even to farmers, to tractor owners, if they were in that area, and if maybe if they were reversing in a driveway, and if they could check their tractor just to see if there was any damage caused to it and contact Gardaí themselves.
Okay, now, information in relation to criminal damage, this time in Inishowen.
Yeah, this incident happened in the area of Linsfort, Buncrana, between 8 p.m. on Saturday the 11th of October and 11:30 a.m. on Monday the 13th of October. So a number of garden lights at a property in that area were smashed between those times. So we're appealing to anybody who might have observed any type of suspicious activity in that area between those dates to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932 0540.
Right, to our draw now, and this is a theft incident.
Yeah, and this is actually something that happens regularly too, and it's a sad sort of incident to see. You know, anything concerning local community groups and volunteer, you know, these community groups are run solely by volunteers. So this is what happened in this instance. It's a theft incident, and it occurred at Hillhead Ardra between 5 p.m. on Wednesday the 1st of October and 1:30 p.m. on Wednesday the 8th of October. So a shed in that area belonging to a local community garden group was entered. The lock was broken in the shed to gain entry. A mobile gas ring and connector were then stolen from within the shed. So we're appealing to anyone who might be able to assist with relevant information to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530. You know, incidents like these are soul-destroying for these volunteers.
Because they've broke the lock, they've entered without permission. And what if they've stolen something they make the tea on, maybe?
Yeah, you know, and it might be something small to them, but that could be crucial to that group. You know, they're volunteers. And
excellent. You know, I mean, whoever did that, cop yourselves on, leave it back. Right, now, this is an incident we covered on the programme on Monday, and of course it was mentioned at the time that Gardaí were taking it seriously, and of course, why wouldn't they? So this is the fireworks incident over the weekend.
Yeah, so this happened on Saturday the 11th of October at around 8:15 p.m. So Gardaí were alerted to the fact that approximately six youths who were wearing dark clothing, they had their hoods up, and they were igniting fireworks at the main street in Buncrana. They were gone upon the arrival of Gardaí, and were appealing to anybody who may have witnessed the incident or who may have dash cam footage from that area at that time to make contact with Gardaí in Buncrana on 932 0540. And of course the CCTV from the area will be checked, and I think Gardaí, I know Gardaí have spoken to a number of witnesses already, but anybody who hasn't spoken to Gardaí already, please, we're asking them to do so.
Now let's reiterate that this is crazy. You could lose your hand, lose your eye, you could seriously injure somebody else, but even having fireworks is really quite a serious crime. So just run us through, because we are approaching Halloween, and it's important that ignorance can't be used as a defence. You know, here's the information.
Yeah, and I think too, especially in a case like that, perhaps the youths are not aware of the, you know, the injuries that are sustained every year by people, and also the massive penalties, you know, that are attached. So Halloween is approaching, so we're urging anybody who's thinking about buying or using fireworks to please have a rethink. Many horrific life-changing injuries are sustained at Halloween and the run-up to it, the weeks leading up to it, by fireworks. Fireworks are not only dangerous, but there are severe criminal penalties for anybody who is found guilty of the offence of igniting an illegal firework, throwing an ignited firework at a person or property, or possession of illegal fireworks for sale or supply. So these penalties are fines of up to €10,000 and 5 years imprisonment.
Like, and I mean, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I'd imagine if this were 15, 16, 17-year-olds and they had the fireworks in their parents' house, you know what I mean? Like, Gardaí would be looking at the parents of that instance. I'm not sure how responsible they might be or not, but you know, it's that could come down on the owners of the property.
Almost
potentially.
Certainly, yeah. Well, it would be the owner of the property that if it's found on their property, they would be held responsible for it, of course. Yeah.
So, what role do the public have in any then in relation to, you know, fireworks being spotted sold in the Republic or up for grabs on social media or what have you?
Yeah, and look, we're not silly. We're not. We know this is happening. It's happening all over the place. Mm-hmm. So we're asking the public to please make us aware. If you come across fireworks for sale, or if you come across any type of antisocial or illegal behaviour in the run-up to Halloween or at Halloween, please alert us immediately. Gardaí can be contacted on a 24/7 basis in Letterkenny on 9167100, Milford on 915-3060, Buncrana on 9320540, or Ballyshannon 071-985-8530, and always call 999 or 112 if it's a case of an emergency.
All right, OK. Now, it is deer rutting season, so we've thousands and thousands of deer all over the place, but at certain times of road, at certain times of the year, they take part in other types of activities, and that means we can see more of them on the road. So what is the advice there?
Yeah, and I was talking to the roads policing, some of the roads policing unit members, and you know, that are on the night shift, and they've said that they have noticed in recent weeks that the deer are, they can jump out at any, you know, especially the Barness Gap area was one area that they did mention to me, but I know it's happening all over Donegal. So we just want to make people aware it is deer rutting season. We're advising all road users to be mindful of that fact, just to watch out for deer on the roads. The breeding season or rut, that peaks during the month of October and is controlled by the length of the day. So deer can pose a danger to road users at this time due to their unpredictable nature. Take extra care when you're driving, especially at dusk and at dawn. So during the rutting season, deer move about. They can often make their way onto the roads, so be prepared. Ensure that you're always in a position to stop suddenly. You know, should you encounter deer on the road, reduce your speed, especially in areas where there is a warning sign for deer. Should you see a deer on the road, dip your headlights, as the full beam could cause them to freeze in your path. And if you're involved in a road traffic collision involving deer, or if you witness such an incident, please contact Gardaí immediately.
It is one of those things that we see the signs all year round, and they're there all year round, obviously, because they're never present danger. But October, particularly this time of year, we're more likely to see them, and those signs really kick in.
And just other areas as well. I'm aware of an area down around the crossroads, especially a road that I would travel on, and a deer did jump out of a forest area one day. Now, there's no sign in that area, so just don't rely on the signs.
That's
either.
It,
you know, just always be aware and take your time.
All right. So we are heading into the winter season. Operation Thaw is there, isn't it? What's going on? What can we look out for?
Yeah, Operation Thaw. So it commenced, the winter phase of it commenced on the 1st of October. So this is an annual increased enforcement operation. It's aimed at preventing burglars from exploiting the reduced hours of daylight. So residential burglary rates tend to be higher in wintertime. The shorter days and the longer, darker nights provide more cover, and it makes it easier to break in unnoticed. And it can also make it easier to see if a property is vacant, you know, if a house is unlit maybe at nighttime. So there's a number of steps that can help protect your home, whether you're at home or going out. Turn on some lights, and the LED bulbs are more energy efficient than the traditional bulbs, and they're brighter too. Use timer switches, motion detectors, lock all doors and windows. Use a house alarm, store keys away from windows. Don't keep large amounts of cash or jewellery in the house, and always report suspicious activity or vehicles in your area to Gardaí immediately. It's amazing the amount of people that are leaving their doors unlocked. You know, I think it's a country thing. I shouldn't blame the country people, but
no, it is. It is because it's been handed down to us, and I think we're a little bit behind towns, because towns, obviously, you know, maybe became more security aware before those of us living in rural areas did. Do you have to lock the door all the time? Do you have to lock the shed? Can you leave the keys in the car?
Yeah, well, we have had a number of burglaries recently within Letterkenny too, within the town. I'll be fair to the country people
okay,
now. But yeah, no, where burglaries did take place, and the house may have been unlocked for maybe 5-6 hours at a time, and the burglary occurred during that time. So just please
always
lock
up. And it's a toughie, because you don't want to blame anyone, but it's just to try and get us to adjust our behaviour. And also too, what we're seeing is, and what we've seen a trend of lately, I'm not saying it's a trend, but vacant properties, you know, people going for copper. It's only a matter of time before we're talking about oil burners and oil again, isn't it really?
Yes. You know, from this time of year onwards, there usually is a rise in the report of burglary. So please do keep your house locked up. Keep your keys away from windows. Never keep cash in the house. There's also a large amount of people that keep massive amounts of money in their house. You know, put it in the bank, get it out of your house.
And do you know the funny thing is, we think we're different, but there's a few places people put cash. like an empty Weetabix box in the cupboard
it's
or something.
Always the same. It's
or
the same place.
You know, one of those sugar coffee tea, and they put it in the coffee one. You know what I mean? Because but these burglars know all of the hot spots.
Well, they get
there's
in and out.
New.
They're
there's
in and out in a matter of 2-3 minutes, so they know the hot spots.
Yeah.
They come and they go and they get what they came for, so they know the hot spots to look for.
Yeah.
So just don't leave large amounts of cash in the house, you know. These hiding places are well known by burglars, you know.
Yeah,
keep the money in the bank.
And that's residential, but I mean, obviously, too, there's the commercial element of it too.
There is. So we're just advising anybody, whether you're a homeowner, a business owner, and if you are conducting a review, which is advisable, you know, conduct a review regularly of your security measures. And if anybody is considering conducting a review, if they need advice, they're welcome to contact Sergeant Fergus McGrory, who's the Divisional Crime Prevention Officer in Letterkenny. Contact him on 91 67 100. He'll be happy to call out and to assist them and to advise them about security measures.
Yeah, and Fergus was on with us last week, and unfortunately I had a slight technical error. I didn't get that uploaded, but I might still do, because there was a lot of useful information in there, so I might do a double this afternoon.
Yeah.
We did mention Coastal Watch.
It
I know it's been
morning,
scribbled out, but we didn't get all the numbers and stuff. So do you have those? We got the Garda Confidential line, don't get me wrong, but there's actually a plethora of numbers there.
There's
for
a few numbers, useful numbers.
I'm sure you're going to stick them up on the Garda Facebook page if
you
haven't already.
They're up. I have them up last night on the face. And I know the superintendent was here earlier chatting about Coastal Watch, so I'll not read all that out again. But Coastal Watch is a multi-agency initiative involving in Garda Síochána, the Irish Naval Service, and Revenues Customs Service. It was relaunched yesterday, Monday, the 13th of October, in Killybegs at the Coast Guard Station. So just look, I'll just give you the numbers really, because you've spoken about it this morning already. Members of the public are encouraged to report any unusual activity right round the coastline to any of the following numbers.
So that's like unauthorised landings, landings in remote areas, strange objects in the sea, ships where you wouldn't normally expect to see them, ships signalling from out at sea, or under steam without lights on. These are all telltale signs.
Any vessels operating at night without lights, anything like that. Yeah, this is all on our Facebook page. As you said, crews making landings in remote areas. And listen, anybody living along the coastline will know if it's suspicious.
Exactly,
you know, they're used to being there. They know what usually comes and goes. And it's no harm. It's like a Herd Chief Superintendent Sheridan speaking at Coastal Watch. And it's like she said, nobody's wasting our time ever by ringing us, you know. If you do think something suspicious at sea, if you're living along the coast, you see something, it's worth exploring, you know. Contact us, let us know so it can be checked out. So members of the public are encouraged to report any type of unusual activity on the sea or around the coastline to any of the following numbers. The Customs Drug Watch confidential free phone number 1800 295 295, the Garda Confidential line 1800 666 111. Of course, the emergency number is always 112999. The Naval Operations Centre 021 486 4707 or any Garda station. And these numbers are all up on our Facebook page.
Lovely stuff. Thank you for all of that, Grania.
No,
I do appreciate it. That's Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 14th of October 2025. It's back with you after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. Grania, again, thanks very much.
No problem.
Now, three ATU Donegal Fashion graduates took part in Ireland's first ever official Fashion Week. The graduates were Emma McKinney, who's actually in studio with me, Bray Zhang, who's going to be joining me remotely, and Holly Marie Gallagher. The landmark graduate show took place on Friday, the 10th of October. Emma, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
Right, so what was how did you come to be part of this?
Yeah, so I studied fashion in the ATU in Letterkenny, and there was just a bit of buzz on social media about Fashion Week eventually coming to Ireland. At the start, I didn't really think much of it. I was like, oh, you know, there wasn't any big word about it, so I didn't think too much. And then I kept hearing it everywhere, kept seeing it, and I was like, I may as well apply and see how it goes. And I got an interview and the rest.
So at that point, did you have to present work or your ideas, or was it just they backed you and says, right, do whatever you want to do?
Yeah, so we had to fill out an application form and submit a few pictures of work that we've previously done and kind of share a few achievements and stuff that we've worked on and just prove that we were capable of kind of presenting something on a stage.
And how then big of a lead-in did you have to the actual show itself from being accepted into the competition or into the event? Like, how long did you have to prepare for the fashion show?
Yeah, we found out around, I think it was the end of June, start of July, that we got a spot. And we had a few boot camps along the way to make sure that we were kind of keeping up with the tasks and everything. And so we had a few months just to get everything sorted.
But those months go quick too, don't they?
They do, yeah, they definitely do.
What did you go for then? You're going to have to paint the picture now for us.
Yeah, so I was very inspired by my hometown, you know, Donegal. I think the landscapes and the colours and the scenery is just beautiful. So I went for really textural kind of pieces. I worked with McNutts of Donegal. So I got remnant tweed from there. And I also got leather from a local bag and accessory maker in the town, Orlavera. So I wanted to keep it quite local with my materials. And I'm also quite sustainable in everything I do. So all secondhand materials, all slow fashion. So I also, I would say my work is quite kind of quirky and fun. You know, my brand name's Maniac, so I think there's a bit of kind of
organized chaos there.
I kind of work on a less is a bore, I suppose. So I always loads of color, loads of texture, loads of mix of materials and layers.
Brilliant stuff. What's your feelings about fast fashion?
Yeah,
because it's everywhere, right? And
I suppose
now it's online and people are ordering 6 or 7 items at the same time, and they're so cheap sometimes they don't even bother sending them back.
It's more of a, like, it's just so accessible that people think, sure, why not?
And we're churning through it, aren't we?
Yeah. I think there definitely does need to be a change in terms of how we consume fashion. I think there will be a lot more people going the second hand, you know, renting clothes, buying off other people, making their own, repairing garments rather than buying fast fashion, because there is so much in the media now about how damaging it is to consume so much fashion.
And we don't pick up the cost of it, really. All this stuff is dumped in landfill in Africa or something. Do you know what I mean?
It's not, we're not seeing it. So
okay, stay where you are, of course. Bray Zhang. Bray, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Very good. Where are you now? You're in Donegal, are you?
No, I'm currently at work. I'm on my break. I work at Hunter Apparel Solutions in Derry.
Fantastic stuff. Right. So, how did you get involved in fashion design?
So I suppose with fashion design, I was always a creative. Ever since I was young, it kind of, the idea of when you start off and you know how to dress, you kind of pay attention to details. That part did come naturally. But prior to, you know, joining the course at ATU, I didn't actually have sewing experience. So it was definitely something new to me. But I kind of knew in myself that it's something I could learn.
And talk to me about you getting involved in this fashion show then, because you have worked in fashion for quite some time, haven't you? You've been involved in other shows before.
Yes, I have. So during my 4-year period studying at ATU, I did a year abroad in Paris. So during that year abroad, I was lucky enough, I was fortunate enough to do my internship at Paris Fashion Week. So I had prior Fashion Week experience. I kind of knew, you know, to a big scale how it would work, what the schedule would be like, and kind of how demanding it is. So it was definitely something that I looked forward to. Just like Emma, we heard about it through our lectures, I think, originally. And it was just an application process and then interviews. And that was basically it. That's how I heard about it, and that's how I got into it.
All right, talk to me about your presentation, your work.
So my work is actually quite the opposite of Emma's, actually.
So you're not a maniac?
No, I'm not a maniac. No, my work is definitely more on the ready-to-wear, kind of the more craftsmanship. I have a background in tailoring. I did my work placement with Rory Duffy, Master Savile Row Tailor. So that part comes apparent. For my collection for Ireland Fashion Week, it was a waterproof two-piece trench and pleated trousers. So the theme behind that was, our theme for the show was the Irish Sea, and I think a lot of people took that literally. You know, there was some designs of maybe like jellyfish or something direct, whereas for me, my work's always a little bit more on the philosophical side. So for me, what made it so personal was, I'm also from Donegal, I'm from Letterkenny originally, and obviously our conditions, our weather conditions are a little bit more harsh in the northwest. It rains a lot, unfortunately. So for me, it was very important to make a garment that was functional, that was able to protect the wear from the elements outside, and something that's designed for everyday wear that most people, I would say, hopefully, most people like it.
Now, Bray, obviously, you've got good attention in the space. You know, your name is out there now, and can you achieve what you want to achieve in fashion based in the northwest of Ireland? Is it a case you need to go to a London or a Paris or a New York, or can you make the waves and have the impact or the influence that you might want to based out of the northwest of Ireland?
That's a very good question, Greg. I think if you were to ask me this question a couple of years ago, I probably would have said no. I probably would have said it would be the case that I have to move abroad to a bigger city, to more of a fashion capital. But things like Ireland Fashion Week happening and the opportunity it gives us as graduate designers, you know, straight out of university, definitely opens up more opportunities. That being said, I think the marketplace and the exposure you get from being in a bigger city and the networking you get to meet different people. I mean, when we were down in Dublin, the amount of people we met from, not only in Ireland, all over Ireland, but even from London, from Paris, it was unbelievable. So I think to get to the stage I want to be at in my career, I think I still do have to move abroad, unfortunately, or at least to a bigger city.
Yeah, I get the impression you're happy where you are now, but when you kick into overdrive, you're going to have to clear off somewhere else if the truth is right?
Unfortunately, it might be the case, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll watch on with interest, Bray. Listen, thanks for giving up some of your break to chat to us. Well done, by the way, on what you're achieving. And Emma, this is your career fashion, isn't it? And that's where you see your future.
It definitely is, yeah. That's the dream anyway.
And how do you progress that, right? So you've got your brand.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make that into a business if it's not already? Is it sort of selling one-off pieces? Is it sort of designing something that's produced on a greater scale? Is it commissioned pieces? How does it work, or how do you see it working?
Yeah, so I suppose for myself, I don't want to go the producing a lot of the same thing. I always source my materials from like charity shops and the likes of, like I said, remnant materials from local designers themselves. So I want to do the more one-off, unique, it kind of creates more of
Well, it's a buzz, and if something's unique, it becomes more
attractive,
doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's something more special about having something than thinking.
There's something more special about having something no one else can have.
So I think I'm going to just continue doing what I'm doing. I've had some good feedback from the show. I think social media is going to be a great help for myself, promoting.
For sure. And I think the materials that you're choosing to use are always in fashion as well.
Exactly.
Your wools and leathers, and especially if there's a story behind it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right. Well, listen, we wish you every success. Have you got a social media space at the moment?
I do. I'm posting away on Instagram. So I have a few bits up from the show and from my graduate collections and everything. So it's Made by Maniac on Instagram.
All right. Okay. So you are the maniac.
I am the maniac.
You don't come across as a maniac. But anyway.
No, definitely not. Maybe if you look at my design, just
right, okay. Yeah. So it's not a personal declaration.
No,
okay.
Definitely not.
Well, listen, Emma, keep up the great work. What does this mean now for you, sort of cracking on? Do you sort of now say, right, I've done the local fashion show, if we could put it like that, although it's national. Can you apply to events in London or France or where at Paris or wherever it might be? There might be other hotspots I don't know of.
Definitely. I think they do get people in as well, like other smaller creators. So it's going to be something I'm going to be on the lookout for now.
Yeah, because your platform now is you've got that behind you now, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's only up from here, I
exactly,
hope.
Exactly. There's some brilliant stuff, and it's great to see local people doing well, and also too, with a philosophy sort of. We didn't get Holly Marie Gallagher. Do you know Holly Marie?
I do, yeah. We studied together.
What's
in the college.
Like?
Sorry?
What's her style?
Her style, she's very out there, very kind of bespoke.
Okay.
Her brand name is Dare to Howl.
Right.
So she does kind of big, extravagant pieces, more kind of avant-garde.
Lots of spikes.
Very interesting. Definitely check her out. She's
excellent. All right,
cool.
Okay. So check them all out. Bray Zhang. And it's interesting that you have your own identities,
isn't
it?
We do,
we're
all so different.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, we all studied in the same place, but we all came out with
because that means what they're doing is they're not trying to pigeonhole you. They're looking at what you're good at, what you're your creative, great creativity and harnessing that.
Yeah, the lecturers in the college are great at that.
All right, well done. Listen, I've spoken to a few fashion graduates now, and they've got nothing but good things to say about the course out of Letterkenny. All right, well done, Emma. Thanks so much for calling in to us. It's lovely to have you in. It was great to chat to Bray Zhang, who joined us from Derry on his break. And well done to Holly Marie Gallagher, also from Donegal, or from the region anyway, who was part of that fashion show. All right, back with more after the break.
The 9 till noon show is brought to you by Letterkenny Credit Union, with monster loans available up to €60,000 for all occasions. Visit letterkennycu.ie.
It's the Right Price Tiles wood flooring and bathware 70% off sale. Get up to 70% off all your purchases. Up to 70% off all tiles, all wood flooring, all bathware. Everything's reduced in store. The 70% off sale at Right Price Tiles, wood flooring and bathware. Stores nationwide. Sale extended until Sunday.
If you need an eye test, look no further than Louis Walsh Opticians. Letterkenny's longest established opticians are delighted to welcome patients new and old to their state-of-the-art practice in the Courtyard Shopping Centre. Their latest technology includes a 3D OCT retinal camera, which assesses the health of your eyes in minutes. Private, medical card and PRSI patients welcome. Call 91-21000 to arrange your eye test.
Louis Walsh Opticians, Letterkenny. Your vision, our focus.
Discover Centra Simple Savers, your go-to for great everyday value. Like selected meats, like Irish beef meatball 360 gram, any 3 for €10. Centra soft quilted toilet tissue 18 rolls, £5.50. And Moretti 12 bottle pack, €16. Enjoy simple prices on all your favourites. Centra, live every day. Enjoy alcohol sensibly.
It's Cabaret 25 at Harvey's Point. We start again on Wednesday, September the 3rd, and every Wednesday until November the 5th. An amazing lineup of stars, gourmet food, the warmest of welcomes, and all in the beautiful surrounds of Harvey's Point on Loch Esk, Donegal Town. Book today 074-972-2208 or harveyspoint.com. The Harvey's Point Cabaret, a night not to be missed.
All innovative, all inspiring, all yours. Discover the Audi 261 range with Audi All Access at your local dealership. Join us at our nationwide open house event from October 17th to 24th and experience exhilarating test drives, unmissable offers, and exclusive product upgrades. Book a test drive with Audi All Access today. Audi. Vorsprung durch Technik.
Highland Radio weather updates with McElhinney's. Our Christmas shop has now opened for all your festive shopping needs. Explore our extensive range of decorations, bedding and more in our homeware department, in-store or shop online at McElhinney's.com today.
So today will be mainly dry and mostly cloudy across the region, with patches of mist and drizzle, though they're pretty much clearing at this stage to leave a few bright intervals developing through the day. Temperatures 12 or 13 degrees with light easterly breezes. Okay. Once again this morning at 5 a.m, says a listener, I met a group of cyclists in a group out for a cycle. Yes, they had lights and reflective gear on, but in the dark at this time of the morning, it's a huge road safety issue. Why are the Gardaí not having a word with this club and advising them against this in the winter? In the summer, I've no issue with it. They're using the road, though, and they've got all the high-vis on, and I suppose there's a responsibility between them, and they seem to have fulfilled their responsibility in us as drivers sharing the road with them. I'm not sure the Gardaí have any place in advising them one way or other, to be honest with you. They seem to be, even by what you're saying, doing the right thing, although at 5 a.m., Greg, I wouldn't want to be a guard, but I haven't been stopped by a checkpoint in years, other than campaign yesterday being us to be the eyes and ears, as was previously found. Where are the guards? I have noted a number of times sitting with blue on stationery. Is this a checkpoint? Go to Portugal, to One Horse Town, see the president's presence, very evident, police and GNR. I don't know what the story is there. I have concerns for my teenage children regarding spiking, says a listener. I find it rampant in our area. Surely they can bring up the CCTV. Do the people in the premises have a responsibility to people who've been spiked? Every week I hear of someone's daughter being spiked. Every week I worry that it'll be my daughter next. Well, like, even if the CCTV is available, you know, you're talking often very, very busy places and things can be placed in drinks very surreptitiously. I think the biggest protection we have is to guard our drinks. If it's a bottle, keep your thumb in the lid. If it's a glass, there was a period of time whereby there were these little items that you could put on the top of the glass so someone couldn't drop something in. I think that was a bit of a fad and not the long-term solution. But I suppose you have to advise, we have to advise our children, you know, to always have their drink with them because, as I say, if someone is of a mind to secretly put something in a drink in a busy bar or even not in a busy bar, it could be very difficult to sort of conclusively determine what had happened. You know, I was using an image a little earlier on and it was someone hovering their hand over a drink and releasing a tablet, you know, one of these stock in, images, but that's not how it's done. You know, that's not how it's done at all. In relation to the traffic, Greg, the people that are complaining about the traffic congestion in Letterkenny, the same people that put the same parties back in power at the last election, although they know there will be no change to roads or general infrastructure. I'm going to have to say one thing. Fianna Fáil voted against the four lanes and Fianna Fáil voted against active travel plans for Letterkenny because they didn't believe it to be the right work at the right time. And that is the party that's in power. So I'm not contradicting you, but just if I do have the info, I do kind of need to get it out there. Hi, Greg. For more than 46 years, the people of Gweedore have been promised a proper sewage system, yet nothing has been delivered. It is shameful that in this day and age, a community should still rely on nature's mercy, with rivers, streams and heavy rains preventing the place from becoming unbearable. Without them, the pollution and stench would be intolerable. It's a disgrace that despite so many councillors and politicians living in the area, few have had the courage to speak up or demand real progress. The people of Gweedore deserve better than empty promises and ongoing neglect. And thanks for your kind words about the programme. Staying with the environment, what about all the sewage going into Donegal Bay from every town and village on the coast? Sewage is running into the water streams in Remelton for years and nothing's been done to stop it. That is, of course, part of the problem. A caller says the money used for migrants would be better used towards our hospitals and housing our homeless. We're always going to have a responsibility to, we cannot build a wall around Ireland. You know, there is always going to be a level of migration. As I said earlier on, it's a little over 1% of the total budget. But if you believe that that would be better spent on housing and hospitals, then of course that's your point of view. A caller says the only way to reduce electricity prices here is to have one supplier state-owned as it used to be. Yeah, we were told more competition, lower prices. It couldn't be further from the truth.